Thank you, Ms. Joyce. I appreciate that. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get a worksheet? Just slip your hand up and turn to Genesis chapter 21. If you'd like a worksheet, just slip your hand up. They'll come by and give you one. Keep it up until they get to you. Meantime, returning to Genesis chapter 21, verse number 22. Chapter 21, verse number 22. It's kind of an interesting little passage here. And we've been talking about living a life of faith. And I understand that and so forth. And there's been a lot of things we've been talking about trying to get through life and trying to see God do something in our life and answer the promises and the blessings that he has given us and so forth. And this evening is a little different. But it still has to do an awful lot with the life of faith. And I want you to see just kind of a simple little message here, but a very practical one. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 21, verse number 22. And it says, "And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today." In other words, the first time I'm hearing about this thing. I didn't know the first time I'm hearing about it. Verse 27, "And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days." This is long before David kills the big Philistine. All right, but this is long. They were there a long time. Let's pray, and I don't want to get ahead of myself or preach it twice before we get going here. Let's talk about this tonight, living like a man of faith. Living like a man of faith. Well, let me say this. We want to be a man of faith or a person of faith because we want God to do something in our life. Well, God has done something in Abraham's life, and that's good. But you know what? We ought to live like a person of faith, because a person of faith ought to live a certain way to show that they have faith in a holy and righteous God. And sometimes it's little simple things that can ruin our testimony, can hurt our effect in our community, and even hurt our life, so to speak, because we haven't lived up to what we claim to be. And so let's talk about a few things here. They're not great big things tonight, but I think it'll be interesting to it. So let's pray and living like a man of faith. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for each one you brought our way here. Lord, I don't know what everybody needs, and there may be some little thing here tonight that every person was. Maybe it was a little something I'll say on the side. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it'll be just one phrase tonight, whatever it may be, but it may be the whole message. I don't know. But Holy Spirit, we ask you to work in our hearts and give us each of us what we need. So the best I can, I yield to you. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. We'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Abraham has been a long time coming to this place and this time in his life. He and Sarah have wandered the wilderness as pilgrims, if you will, for 25 years. He was 75 years old when they left Haran. And it's been 25 years. It was 25 years. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was finally born, which happens earlier in this same chapter. So we're right here. We're right there. So it's been about 25 years. And all along, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you the father of a promise. I mean, there's going to be a child of promise here that's going to come. You're going to have a child when the right time comes. And, of course, we know the whole story about she gives him Hagar. We know the thing about he said, well, Eliezer's my servant. Maybe we should just think about him. And they've gone through all this stuff, caused themselves a lot of unnecessary grief, to be honest with you, a lot of unnecessary problems. They just trusted. God said it was going to happen. And so he said, well, I don't see it happening. Well, it's on God's time. He said it was going to happen. Just be patient. But, you know, we get ourselves in trouble and so forth. But we've come to the point where God has blessed them, and he's known around the area for being blessed of God. In fact, you can tell here, even with this thing with Abimelech, they knew of him. I mean, who's this guy? Wander around. He's been made a great nation. And my guess is, people knew about his wife, and they knew that she was very beautiful and this and that. But word gets around. What was I watching the other day? They said, everybody, oh, I was, it was Lawrence Welk. Anyway, they were singing a song, but everybody knows everybody's business in a little town, you know. And to be honest with you, that's the way it is. Everybody knows everybody's business, and people knew that there was something going on with Abraham. And they had, did you hear, she had a baby. I think she's like 90 years old. I think he's like 100 years old, and he just had a kid. Can you imagine what those 3 o'clock feedings are going to be like? You know, it's hard to get up in the morning already. So they kind of knew what was going on. Now, he's been wandering around for 25 years, and the child of promise has just arrived. Word gets around. Those acquainted with Abraham have seen evidence that God has his hand on Abraham in a very special way. So he's 100 years old. He's been living in faith of what God can do and has promised to do. I'll say it again. He's lived in faith, in the faithfulness that God is going to do what he's promised to do. Now, chances are the surrounding people groups have heard of Abraham's wealth and of his own, and the son of promise. And Abraham has a life to live up to, if you will, as a prophet. He's a representative of God. In fact, God, you know, this thing here with Abimelech, you know, he goes down there to the area of the Philistines, and he, you know, the crazy guy, everything God has done. And by the way, it was within that year when God told Abraham that Sarah was going to have her child within a year. So it was somewhere in that year that he goes down there to Abimelech, down there where the Philistines are, and he said, now, I want you to tell them that you're my sister, not my wife. Don't want them to kill me, which is crazy, but there she was. I mean, she's 90 years old, 89 years old, but apparently she was a pretty good-looking gal, and he was afraid they were going to take her, and so he went down there. You know the whole story, and Abimelech had heard out, wow, God blesses you. And God came to Abimelech and told him, he talked to him, said, listen, you need to keep your way. This guy's a prophet. Let him pray for you. He said, well, prophet, what it means is God was using Abraham to show the rest of the world what God wanted us to know. That's what a prophet really does. He gives, preaches, proclaims what God wants us to know. Sometimes it's stuff that's in the past. Sometimes it's something in the future. Sometimes it's something that's happening right now. But the prophet tells us what God wants us to know. By the way, past, present, future, it's all the same to God. Okay, so it's no hard thing for him to tell us the future, as any harder than it is to tell us the past. Because to him, it's all past. He's in the future. You know, if you think about that too much, it'll fry your circuits. But he can do it. He's God. Now, so he's a representative of God. Now, living like a person of faith is more than getting what you want. Remember, he's a prophet of God. He told Abimelech, he's a prophet of God. In other words, he's there to show them what God wants them to know. And that includes Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. That includes his main head honcho who goes with him, this Phicol fellow. And so God says, I'm teaching you some things like I'm teaching everybody else. And so living like a person of faith, so Abraham's a prophet, he's there representing God, is more than getting what you want. It is living with integrity and the graciousness of God. It's living with integrity and the graciousness of God. I mentioned it this morning. God is not out looking to see who he can zap next. God loves. He wants to care, but sometimes he does some things to draw us closer. Sometimes he puts us flat on our back so we have no place to look but up. Now, our passage this evening simply shows the life of a man of faith, really in day-to-day issues. There are a variety of things kind of discussed here, but it's basically day-to-day issue. That's where most people are going to see your faith. How do you handle the day-to-day issue? It is amazing how many folks can be Christian, but then they walk out on the street corner, they get into the day-to-day routine, and everything kind of changes. I remember, I have a buddy of mine that was actually in my wedding, and of course he's my age, graduated with him, we kind of grew up together. And there was a fellow that was teaching in the who taught the men's class some at this little church I grew up in, which was dead, but anyway. He said, you know, so-and-so, I know he teaches Sunday school, but he works for my dad. His father was a contractor, and this guy was a plumber. And he says, you ought to hear ought to see him out there on the job site. You ought to hear what he says on the job site. You ought to see how he does his work on the job site. You ought to see how he deals with his business clients. He says, I know he teaches Sunday school, but it's something different. You know, that young man who's now my age, no longer a young man, really doesn't have much use for the things of God. Doesn't have much use for the things of the church. And I remember when I told him that I was going into ministry, it was kind of like, oh my soul, you lay too long one side, your brain done rolled out your ear. What in the world? You're a couple fries short of a happy meal. Your elevator doesn't go all the way up. The light's on, but nobody's home. What are you doing to your life? And what he saw was religion and hypocrisy. Now, be honest with you, God blesses. We have a responsibility to live like God wants us to live. Now, Abraham, be honest with you, he was a mess sometimes. We know that. But we're going to see some things. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, if you want to get with my paper, the man of faith should be associated, watch, with greatness. Sounds funny. A man of faith should be associated with greatness. Abraham's name has been made great. Letter B, God made a promise. God made a promise. Now, I understand for Abraham, the promise was unconditional. We talked about that. But in Genesis 12, you got it right, I got there. Now the Lord has said, this is way back, 25 years ago. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Letter C. The promise came to pass. Let us see, the promise has come to pass, just like God said. So there we are in Genesis 21, 22. It came to pass, it says, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. At what time? Early in the chapter, Isaac has been born. Now listen, he hung around Abimelech. God, Abimelech knows who Abraham is. He found out that Sarah's 89 years old. Bible, and again, I'm not sure what all happened, but God said he returned to her the time of life. And to him as well. I don't know. Some say, well, she actually kind of became younger in more than one way. I don't know, but apparently she was still a very vital and virile woman. And Abraham, he went on to have kids from Keturah. He had 6 more kids after Sarah dies 40 years from now. She dies about 37 years from now. Then finally, Isaac goes out and gets a bride, and he gets an empty nest. He says, well, let's go out and get a wife and fill the nest up again. And so, God, I don't know what God did, but God has blessed them. And God and the people had seen how God blessed. Listen, you're going to tell me that all those cities down there by Sodom and Gomorrah, all those cities, remember those? Remember the first thing? Lot went down there, and the guys came along, and all these different nations came along, and they took all the people out of Sodom and Gomorrah first, and they looted it and spoiled it and all this stuff. And Abraham and his 300 boys, his 300 servants, trained servants, go out there and get it all back. Now, you can't tell me that word hadn't gotten around. I don't know. Don't touch Abraham. Don't mess with him. Listen, all these nations were messing with him, and he comes out with his boys and gets it all back. Then he has this kid when he's 100 years old. And look at his wife. I mean, God's got his hand on him. I'll be honest with you. I like having the blessings of God. But you know what the most important thing about the blessings of God is? That it brings God the glory. That's what the blessings are really all about. Now, we get to enjoy them as they go along. We think the blessings are about us enjoying this life. And we do get to enjoy this life. But the blessings of God are really for him to put his hand on somebody so that somebody else can say, I want that. Not the blessing, but the blessed life. I want to see God's hand on my life like that. I mean, I remember thinking that way as a pastor, or a young boy thinking, think about the idea about being a pastor. If I'm ever going to be a pastor, I want God's hand on my ministry. I want people to say, Sterling did that? How did he do that? Well, it wasn't Sterling, it was God. That's the whole point. Sterling can't do that, but God can. God gives the blessing. So it came to pass at that time, Abimelech had seen God bless Abraham. And what did he say? God's with you, Buster. They said, God is with thee in all that thou doest. He said, I don't understand it. But God's with you in everything you do. Well, blessed is the man who walketh not in the account of the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord. In other words, he cares what God says, not what everybody else says. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm going to make sure I do what God tells me to do. You be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, the fact is, I'll guarantee you, you're not going to prosper in gambling. Because, you see, if you're out there gambling, you were listening to the wrong bunch. You were listening to the ungodly. You were listening to the scorners. You're not meditating the word of God. By the way, you don't need to gamble to get money if you got God. My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory. That's a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's his promise. And so as Christians, we have a responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God so he will give us those blessings so everybody else can see what God's done. There's a family right here in our church that at the beginning of this year were up to their ears and over their ears financially, but just kept doing what God wanted them to do. Now, I don't want to give it out. I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. I was just kind of like, well, what are we going to do? And there were some things they wanted to do and some spiritual type things they needed to do with their money, if you will. What are we going to do? They just did what they were supposed to do. As of now, all that's gone. And there's money in the bank. Well, how's it going to work? God. Well, let's see. We can figure out how God can do this. No! You don't figure out how God's going to do it. You figure out how you're just simply going to obey God. And it may have nothing to do with getting any money to solve that problem. Our job is to take care of what we're supposed to do with him, and he'll take care of those things. Letter D. Abraham has become well known for having the hand of God on him. Boy, I'm not out to be famous. But when I get done, especially on Sunday, and I say, well, that one was for me. They'll say that. I've heard people say that message, well, that one was for me. Or this is, and I'm thinking, I didn't do it. I'll just preach you what it was there. But to say, but the sense is, well, God used you for my sake today. Boy, there's no better feeling than that. There's no better joy. As John said, that my children walk in faith. I've been able to make some difference in somebody's life. Now, Abraham was known for having the hand of God. Psalm 86, 17 says, we can see. Well, let me read it to you. I don't make sure I got it. I'll quote it for you. I'm going to quote it wrong. Psalm 86, 17 says this. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. What's he saying? I want folks to see God working in my life. And even to a person, well, why in the world is he working in his life? Who is he? He doesn't deserve to have God work in his life, and I don't. And neither do you. Now, if he'll work in Abraham's life, the mess that he is, ordinary man with ordinary faults, ordinary fears, ordinary failures, but has ordinary faith in the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. Faith enough that he'd take those steps. I said, wow, you think God would do that in my life? Yeah. Same formula. Same formula. Is it obvious? Let me ask you. Is it obvious that the hand of the Lord is on you? If not, then maybe you need to find out why. Remember, it's not God's fault. Now, I know he gave Abraham a special promise that was only to him, but the fact is, Psalm 1 is written for all of us. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel, but in the law doth, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper. Then thou shalt have good success. Well, I don't know. Yes! Has the blessings of God, I'm not necessarily talking about monetary, but have the blessings of God been so obvious that those around you know it must be God working in your life? We got some folks in here, just this week, who've had some things in their life that's been a problem, and they said, God took care of this one. Remember so-and-so? Not a problem anymore. It's been several folks. Little things in their life. Well, we call them little things, but it was a big thing in their life. Last 2 years, on the Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we've had kind of a testimony time, and it's been going pretty well. And so we may do that again. Sometimes folks get up and they tell you the whole story, and this and other, and they start. It sometimes gets to be a mess. But you know, just give God the praise for some things, you know. The last few years we've been doing that. And I think I'm going to do that again, because you know we need to know. Not brag on us, brag on God. We were in trouble. We were up. We were underwater. But God, I don't know. He let us breathe underwater. I don't know what if somehow we came out the other side and here we are. It's amazing. Number two. Not only should the man of faith be associated with greatness. When I say greatness, not his greatness, but the greatness of God. Number two, the man of faith should be associated with the blessings of God. the blessings of God. Abraham's name is associated with the blessings of God. Look at verse 23. Now therefore swear, this is Abimelech, he says, God's with you. Remember he said, God's with thee in all that thou doest. All of it. Now therefore swear unto me hereby God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land when thou hast sojourned. Now, Abimelech is a man of the world. He does fear God to a certain amount, but he's also figures, you know, man or man, you know, business is business, and you got to do it. And he says, you know, he's got God on his side. Man, he could just wipe me off the face of the earth if he wanted to. And he's got to say, can we make a deal? Because you see, you and God is a majority. You and God is a winning team. But, well, I say it this way. God's a winning team. And when you get on his team, you're on the winning side. And so he's saying, Abraham, God's on you. I've never seen anything like this. Can we make a deal? You won't pick on us. You'll be kind to me. And you know what? If God's with you, who knows how long you're going to be around? I mean, you don't start having babies till you're 100 years old. So I want you to make a deal, not just for me, but for my sons. And my son's sons. And my son's son's sons. Because this could be a while. And if God's on you, I want to make sure that I'm in good stead. I'm in good place, in a good position, as not to get the wrath of this guy, this God that you have on you. Proverbs 16:7 says this. Watch this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Abraham was doing, I mean, he wasn't perfect, but he was God's man. And we have that promise. When a man's ways please the Lord, he can even make his enemies to be at peace with him. And listen, Abraham, all of a sudden, Abimelech is saying, what do you need? What can we take care of? What can we do about this? Let's make this work. So Abimelech knew that Abraham was blessed by God. And Abimelech knew that those that stick close to the man of God will also see some splashes of blessing too. Number three. A man of faith, first of all, is associated with greatness. A man of faith should be associated with the blessings of God. It should be a normal part of your life. Now, when you talk about greatness, that doesn't mean you're going to be well-known, famous, or, well, certainly not infamous, but not, you know, that's not what we're talking about. But there's been folks in your life who've been Christians. You say, now, there's a person of God. If I needed wisdom, if I needed some insight, there's a person who's great with God. And not only that, but you'll see that no matter what happens, everything seems to be working to a certain extent in their favor. Even when things all fall apart. And there's an associate with the blessings of God. It's sometimes kind of like a cat. Now, I know you cat lovers, just bear me for a second. But you know, you give them a good toss, they still end up on their feet. You ever notice that? No, I'm sorry. But, you know, the cat falls out of the tree and somehow it'll twist itself around and boom. You ever see a cat do that? And it's on the ground. And it just kind of, like, no one saw that, did they? You know? And that's a cat just somehow lands on their feet. You know, that's one of the way it is with Christians who walk with God. There are going to be problems. There are going to be issues. We live in a sin-cursed world. Why not us? But somehow, even when we end up, let's say we lose our life, somehow there's a sweetness and we end up on our feet. I still remember seeing my dad 10 minutes before he died, just laying there in that bed, smiling at everybody, talking, we're laughing and joking. He says, isn't this great? Isn't this a wonderful thing? And he knew that at any moment his heart would go out and be done. And he was so brittle, they said he couldn't revive him. He knew that. And he just sat there. Isn't this great? I think, Dad, you're going to die. What do you mean it's great? And I know that 20 years before, he didn't have that hope. But even at death, he landed on his feet. Number three, a man of faith will have the wisdom of God. The man of faith should have the wisdom of God. Now look what happened here. Abimelech comes to him and says, can we make a deal? God kind of blesses you no matter what you do. And so I want to make sure I'm on the right side of the blessings here, not on the wrong side of the blessings. And Abraham, letter A, Abraham's experience with Abimelech showed that Abimelech feared God, and possibly more than Abraham did. Remember, God came to Abimelech and said, don't you touch that guy's wife. He's a prophet. You're a dead man. Abraham said, you're a dead man walking if you go anywhere near his wife. And Abraham said, hey, I didn't know she was his wife. He told me it was his sister. Listen, in the integrity of my heart, I so help me, I didn't mean to do this. Honest, no. But look what it says in verse 24. And Abraham said, he asked, would you swear? And Abraham said, I will swear. So Abraham makes a league with this king of the Philistines. Now, why do I talk about that? The reason I say that is you're not supposed to go out and make a whole lot of leagues with a bunch of ungodly people. But that's really, believe it or not, I know he's a Philistine. But according to God, according to his word, Abimelech was really not any more of a heathen, maybe less of a heathen in some ways than Abraham was. He feared God. Now, he had a lot of problems, and why he'd take another wife, that's all that cultural stuff. I'm not going to get into all that. But the fact is, God says, well, he fears me. And Abraham saw that he feared God, and I think he probably felt a little embarrassed when, you know, he probably actually kind of feared God more than Abraham did. I mean, he said, why did you, Abraham, I remember Abimelech said to Abraham, why did you lie to me like this? Well, I thought to myself, nobody around here fears God, and they'll take my, well, apparently Abraham wasn't fearing God right then real well either. So he's making up some stories so he wouldn't get his life taken. But anyway, all Abimelech saw was this Abraham, you know, he's got his problems, but whatever it is, God is with him. And I'll make sure I'm on the right side of this issue. Letter B. Abraham was upfront and forthright with some matters, watch it, so as to settle things before they go too far in this matter. It's a wise thing to do. This is very normal, very average type thing. He's about ready to make a league with Abimelech. Now, again, he probably thinks he fears God and he came with all this stuff. In fact, Abimelech said, hey, Abraham, here, you have your wife. Here, have this, you have that. Let me give you some other things. Let me just make everything okay with you, because for some reason, God's on your side, and I don't want to get on the wrong side of God. So, you know, I want to make you happy, because God says you're a prophet. So here, take these things and, you know, leave us alone, you know. And so Abimelech knew who he was, and they're going to make this deal. But Abraham says, you know, I've got before we make a deal, let me see what kind of things you do. He says, verse 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Now, out in the middle of nowhere, a well of water was really important. That was a high-priced commodity. And Abimelech said, I was not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. Now, basically he's saying, you know, this is all news to me. So Abraham knew that there was an issue. So what did he do? He did what the Bible's supposed to do. Go to that person. Straighten out the issue. Maybe it's not an issue at all. See, this could have been a thorn in the saddle of this relationship for years. You know, well, we made a league, but I really don't trust him. Why don't you trust him? Well, you know, his boys, they took, I mean, they beat up some of my guys to take the well. You know that one we dug out there by Bear Sheep? Yeah, he took it. I wonder if I could trust this guy. Now, what he needed to do was just tend to it. And so, in the wisdom of the Lord, he said, well, I want to make a league, okay, but let's deal with something here, second. Some of your boys took a well that we dug. And to be honest with you, they weren't very nice about it. And Abimelech said, well, I don't remember that. I mean, I didn't hear. In fact, this is the first time I'm hearing about any of this. Let her see. So what happened? They resolved the issue and thus neutralized any tension over the issue before it had a time to fester and cause damage. He said, I didn't know anything about it. Okay, all right, I'll take your word for it. You didn't tell him to go out there. Some guy, I mean, can't keep tabs on everybody in town. I understand that. He resolved the issue. And Abraham seemed to be in a place where he kind of had the upper hand in the situation. You want to be part of us. I understand. You want a league. Well, let's see. We make sure we got this all squared away before we make the league. Number four. I know sometimes we don't have a whole lot of wisdom. You know what Abraham was saying there? If this is the way you deal with folks, then I'm not making a league with you. If your boys are out there, you know, and you're going to go out and take this and take that, and I'm just, you know, I'm just supposed to take it on the chin, I'm not living with that. I'm not going to make a deal with you. I'm not going to deal with somebody that I can't trust. Now, I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, but I'm going to kind of say it again. When you get ready to make a business deal, and you're going to go in business with somebody or something like that, find out what they're like, not just that they can make money. Because you want God's hand on you. Got some young folks, maybe some singles, and after a while you're looking for a spouse. Watch what they do. I'm dead serious. But they love me. Well, that's what they say. They shouldn't just love you. We're supposed to love everybody. And they want to love you in a different way besides. If they don't respect this person, why should they respect you? If they'll deal dirty with this person, why should you believe what they're going to say? I'm serious. God, you listen, you're marrying in character. You're making a league for life. You don't even get to go home from the office and get away from them. You're with them all the time. And so you better be careful, have some wisdom about you before you start making deals. Now, number four. The man of faith is gracious and generous. I didn't see, and it sounds funny if I told you. There's a series of things in here which what a man of faith should do. This is living like a man of faith. The man of faith is gracious and generous. Look at letter A. Abraham kind of had the upper hand. He said, listen, Abimelech said, God's with you. Whatever you do, it just seems all turned to gold. Whatever you touch. And Abraham could have said, yeah, that's right. So what do you want? Well, I just want to make a league that, you know, you're not going to come take my sons and my son's sons and son's sons and sons and sons and sons. And I just want to be on the right side. Oh, is that right? How much is it worth to you? Business. So they think, you know, that's how we deal sometimes. Well, how much is it worth to you? Well, let's see here. You know, I could use a few things. And, you know, if we do that, what are you going to do for me? What's in this for me? But that's not what a man of faith does. Because that's not how we make a living. That's not how we obtain what the Lord has the power, gives the power to obtain wealth. He says, I'd rather have God paying my bills than me conniving and scheming to pay for my bills. Makes a whole lot more sense to a person of faith. To a person not of faith, entrusting God for your finances is foolishness. But the things of God are foolish to the natural man. A man of faith deals in business dealings different. What did he do? Abraham did not take, undue advantage of others, even though God has seemed to place it in his hands. See, Abraham, as a man of faith, shouldn't feel the need to take undue advantage of others, trying to make a buck here or save a buck here and make sure he will have his needs met. Abraham has seen that God shall supply all his needs according to his riches and glory. Listen, he's been out here for 25 years. They're still alive. No Walmarts, no Targets, no Kohl's, no McDonald's. God has taken care of them all along. He doesn't need to work about it. Look at letter C. Is it letter C? B? I think I took the letter B out and give you C. Okay. Abraham, right there, paid for the covenant. They're going to make a covenant like God did with him. But Abraham's going to pay for the covenant. Now, wait a minute. Who wanted the covenant? Abimelech. So what's Abraham now doing? He's acting like God. You want a covenant? I'll pay for it. You could say it this way. He's going to pay the legal fees. He's going to pay the legal fees. Look at verse 27. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. What did they do? He says, I'll use my sheep, my animals, my oxen. We're going to do what God did. We're going to slice them up. We're going to lay them down. And it says, you know, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. So if I don't keep my covenant, that's what happens to me. And that's what happens to you if you don't keep your side of the covenant. He says, okay, I'm going to go with covenant. Abimelech and Abraham made the covenant. But Abraham was the one who paid the price. Why? God will take care of me. There was a covenant. That word covenant there really means a cutting, to pass between the flesh. That's what it means, that word covenant. But Abraham provided the animals this time. Look at letter D. Abraham's going to pay for the well. Abraham paid for the well. Verse 28. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. He put them over here. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. In other words, that this is my well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Now, think about this. Abraham's men had dug the well. Abimelech's men had come along and had violently stolen the well back. He tells Abimelech, he says, these guys, he said, well, I didn't know anything about that. That's your well. I mean, I didn't know anything about it. But he said, okay, well, let's just make sure we got it all squared away. I know we dug it, but we kind of dug it in Abimelech's country. And Abimelech said, go ahead and sojourn here and live here. That's fine. But he kind of dug it in the Philistine country. But, you know, out there it was kind of like it was here in America. You know, when we first got here, the Native Americans over here, they lived out there, but no one really owned certain area of the land, you know what I'm saying? And so it's very similar to that. So they dug the well, and they wouldn't be able to, you know, stick a flag in like they did on the moon and said, this belongs to us. Well, yeah, but, you know, yeah, nobody else is up there working on it. So, you know, I mean, how many people have gone up there to take the flag down from the moon? You know, I mean, it's, you don't get there all, you know, every week or so. So same thing with this. So there was a well there. He wanted it there when he went past by that way. But he says, I'll tell you what. This is kind of your land, and you told me we could do whatever we want, and that's fine, but I'll tell you the truth, I'm going to pay for it. So he says, here's these ewe lambs. It pays for the well. So now the well is ours, and that's a witness to it, and now we know who it is. In fact, they called it Beersheba, the place of the swearing part, and that's where we're going to be. So look what it says there in verse 28. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs. I already read that. Wherefore they called that place Beersheba, verse 31, because they sware both of them. Now, he paid for it. The well was his. His men had dug the well, and now he was out of town, and Abimelech's men claimed as their own. Look at letter E, or whatever it is there. God will provide for Abraham. God will provide for Abraham. Letter F. God seems to give special rights and privileges to his men, to his people. It's almost like sometimes God gives special rights and privileges. Now, that does not give the men of God the right to expect or demand such privileges, but God seems to take care. Listen, there's 7 ewe lambs. We say we're being real generous. Well, that's because God shall supply all my need according to riches and glory. By all means, do whatever we can to live peaceably with all men. That's a godly principle. And Abraham was doing that. Let me just pay it. We'll get this squared away. It's all done. We make a deal, and we'll be okay. All right, let's do that. Now, Abraham could have demanded, but he didn't. The fact is, God takes care of Abraham in special ways. Now, let me turn around here. I know of people who call themselves God's people, and they probably are saved. But for some reason, they think, well, now God should give me special privileges. I've known some people who said, I'm God's person, and God should give me special privileges, and he's going to use you to do it. I know of a woman that was, her husband was a pastor, and it's been some years ago, but she was known around the town that they lived in for asking for discounts. She'd find the price, and then she would say, "But I'm Pastor So and So's wife." Oh, well, good. It's good to meet you. I'm Pastor So and So's wife. Well, don't you have a pastoral discount? Now, fact is, if someone wants to offer that, that's fine. That's their business. But it's their business. It's not our business to go around and expect somebody to give us a little break. Hey, we're Christian. Listen, we don't need special pricing. God's supposed to take care of our needs. Now, if God takes care of that need by telling somebody to give them special pricing, that's fine. But we don't have, it's almost like God's too poor to pay his bills. Well, I want to be a good steward. Well, be a good steward of what he gives you. But don't go around poor mouthing everybody.
I'm just a poor Christian. What am I going to do?
Oh. Well, I thought you were a man of faith. Wasn't God the one? Listen, what did Abimelech say? Whatever you do, God seems to be in on it. But they can't pay their bills. I've been old and I've been young. I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Well, I don't know. We've been having to bake bread. Well, then go back and look at the rest of the verse and find out why. I'm not trying to be mean. Go back and arrest the verse and find out why. Because God's word's still true. I didn't say you're going to be wealthy, have everything you want, but God will take care of you. I know times we ate a lot of rice and beans and didn't know where the next meal was coming from, but you know what? The next meal came. God will provide for Abraham, and we don't need any special privileges. A man of faith should be, listen, be able to live and be gracious. Oh, man, can't give this. It's our last one. Yeah, I know. God's bank account is just about done. You better. Number five, a man of faith should be a man of his word. Talk about living like a man of faith. I know there's a lot of kind of a shotgun message here, but a man of faith should be a man of his word. Agreement is made publicly for all to see for all generations. That's what's happened here. Look at verse 32. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief of the captain of his host, and they returned into the land of Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. They called the place Beersheba, the place of the covenant, the place where they swore. That's it. And he puts a grove of trees, and that's not the type of grove that you hear about trying to get rid of in the Kings and the Chronicles. But he put a place up that he was going to worship God. There was no tabernacle. There was no temple. But he put up a place there. And so right there, that's where God had made a covenant. And why? Because for generations down the road, we're going to say, what's that all about? That's where Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech. That he's not going to go against him. Now, what am I saying? This covenant was to be in effect perpetually. It was to be good for generations to come. And so they named the place the Well of the Covenant. So the well's there, the grove's there, and everybody's going to know that's where the covenant was made. So years from now, they will have a constant reminder that they must uphold the covenant that had been made at that place. Now, again, I'm amazed how many people who call themselves Christians expect to have others cut them some slack when the fact is they don't cut most people any slack. That's not a person of faith. Well, they dealt me dirty. That's okay. God knows that. Well, I'll be honest with you. There's a fellow, and I shouldn't have done this, but I did it. When we first came here, there was a guy who was coming to church here, and he needed $500. I mean, we didn't have a big paycheck or anything like that, and he needed $500, a down payment for a truck. And I gave it to him. And I've never seen one dime of it. But that's okay. God knows. I'm not starving. I'm trying to figure out how to get in my old skinnier suits. $500, you know what? That's nothing compared to what God can do. In fact, to tell you the truth, the worst thing was I gave him the $500, and now he's too embarrassed to come back to church because he owes the preacher $500. Sometimes be careful about that kind of stuff. You think you're going to help him out, and sometimes you actually do more damage. Since then, he's had five vehicles since then. That one didn't last long. Another one, you know how that goes. I probably shouldn't have given the $500. Because then he wouldn't feel embarrassed to come back. But you do what you think you're going to do. You should do. I remember my dad was not saved yet. And he had folks who were saved. He worked in real estate, and they asked for real estate services, if you will. But they expected him to do it pro bono. I mean, they just basically, he was going to cut him a big slack. He was going to do it for free. Well, he didn't say he was going to do it for free. Now, he might have done it. I'm sure he would have cut him a slack when it was all said and done. But they just expected it, and they said so. Now, you know what that did to my father? I tell you what, it set his track to get saved back years. Listen, the man of faith is representing God to the community. Say, well, I'm a man of faith. Then live like a man of faith. Well, living like a man of faith, that means I'm going to have everything I want. Well, that's all part of it, but that's really not the main purpose. The main purpose of living by faith is so that everybody else can see what God has done in your life. Boy, you must have been proud of me because, Lord, you gave me this and you gave me that and you gave me this and you gave me that. I must have been a man of great faith. Now, a man of great faith is when it says, Lord, I didn't have this, but I still did what you told me to do. And then that came later and everybody knew it. And then you did this in my life and I had a hard time. Listen, everything fell apart, Mr. Job. But I didn't curse God with his mouth, with his lips. And that man of faith was all said and done, got double what he started with. They all knew he was a great man of God to start with, and was all said and done. I don't know what that whole thing was about, but all I know is God's blessed them all back again. Is your God so poor that you have to poor mouth others to get what you need? Now, let me summarize, we're all done. A man of faith has a certain godly confidence. Not proud, but that God will take care of him. It's okay. A certain godly confidence. A man of faith has a certain peace that all will be well. Even when he's dealt dirty, it's okay. God knows all about it. God knows all about that. We don't have to go back and grab the guy by the neck and say, give me my $5. What if you never get that $5? God's got $5. You might save that much on your next fill up on gas. Happen to be in the right place at the right time. Or maybe a few cents here and a few cents there. It's here and there. A man of faith handles his daily affairs in a manner that pleases God, even when it looks like it's not to his advantage. A man of faith has the wisdom of God to guide him. So that doesn't make sense. That must not be the wisdom of God. No, it doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. But when you put God in the mix there, it makes all the sense in the world. You go through the Bible and read through, and every time it says, but God. But God. A man of faith does not scheme his way through life to get what he wants. A man of faith makes wise decisions, and then he's faithful to those decisions. Well, I didn't know that was what was going to happen. So I don't know. No, you gave your word. That's a whole other, the Gibeonites and all that mess, you know. You gave your word. And a man of faith is known for being a man of faith. You know what? We get all upset about this and that and other thing. If you're doing right, what's the problem? You think God doesn't see? His eyes go to and fro, seeing whom he can bless. Proverbs 22:1. Look on your paper. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I think that's more vertical than it is horizontal. But I think there's both of them in there. I want a good name with God. Listen, I may be spoken evil. I might even be persecuted, be thought, have evil brought against me for doing good. But if God knows the truth, I'm in good shape. But the fact is, if I live by faith, people are going to say there's something different about that person. And that's a good name. Yeah, but I lost $500 in a deal. Good name, good representation for God is worth a whole lot more than $500. I know I've said this before, but I'll do this one. We had some of our kids from our school get a job at a local business. It's been about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And the local business called our school back up and said, do you have any more kids? We need another worker, and we know where we can find some good ones. Do you have something, anybody out there wants a job? A good name is rather be chosen. You go down there, you have a reputation for showing up on time with a good attitude and working hard and doing what you were told to do. This doesn't take that much to be the cream of the crop these days. Verse 2, it says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is a maker of them all. There's no difference. The rich man is not above the poor man. Verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Not making much of me, making much of him. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Those are out there doing their own thing. They get off the path. They said they're trying to do this. They're going to get away with this and work a way around here. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Living a life, a man of faith. Living like a man of faith. Father, thank you for our folks here. Thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, may we take this life of faith seriously. Because it's not just about us. It's about people seeing God in our life. Lord, may we be a bright and shining. Well, it's one of those ways that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See God work in our life. Lord, we want the people to see God and see the blessings. Heads are bowed and our eyes.